So if you have your Bibles today, open up to Matthew. Today we're going to be in the book of Matthew. Open your Bibles up to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. The title of today's sermon is going to be Keeping Your Life in Focus. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33 will be our scripture today. But as you're turning there, I just want to ask you a question. Just let me ask you a question. As you're turning to Matthew chapter 14. How chaotic is your life? Does anybody have a chaotic life? Yeah, I mean, be honest with yourself. Sometimes life gets chaotic, doesn't it? You run around like you're crazy all the time. You're running between jobs and school and kids, trying to keep up with honey-do lists that keep you up late and late at night. Sometimes you're running errands after errands after errands. I'll tell you, since Deborah and Lewis have been retired, I heard they've never been so busy. I mean, sometimes our lives just get busy. And so, as we're dealing with all these things, it seems like the busyness of life kind of weighs us down sometimes. Seems like we get so busy that our life controls us instead of letting us control our life. So many of our lives just become too busy for ourselves. Our priorities get out of alignment, and through all this stuff, we lose focus on what's most important. And so today I want to talk to you about how to keep your focus on Jesus. Because the truth is when your focus falls off the Lord, you can get into some serious trouble. So today we're going to explore God's word and see what we can learn from the life of Peter and the love of Christ. Let's look at Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. And so God's word says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. Well, he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And the disciples saw him walking on the sea, and they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost!" And they immediately cried out for fear. But Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, and he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. God, I thank you, Lord, for who you are today. God, I thank you for being the Lord that we sang about today. I thank you for letting us be able to hold to your unchanging hand. I thank you, God, for the mighty grace that you give us, Lord, for teaching us that it is sweet to trust in you. Lord, I thank you for saving us, Lord, when we need saving. I thank you, God, for walking with us and never leaving us nor forsaking us. God, I pray that you would just go beyond the walls of this church today with this message, Lord, and touch those who hear the message you've put on my heart, Lord. God, I pray that whatever deals we're dealing with in our hearts, whatever burdens, whatever struggles, whatever challenges, God, we'd set those things aside, the crazy things in our chaotic life. Lord, we just set those aside to be able to focus on your words today. Thank you, Jesus, for all you do for our families, and thank you most for giving your only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen. 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 So let me set this backdrop for you here. So many people know that Jesus walked on water. Now, Jesus seemed like maybe to some people he was a risk taker. Did you know that in Israel, there is a company that they've contracted out where they're building a bridge that goes across the sea that's a floating bridge that sits 2 inches below the water with no handrails, with lifeguards and things, so you can go out there and take pictures and it can look like you too were walking on water. I mean, what are they going to think of next, you know? So that's what they were doing. So to me, it's like you're almost making a gimmick out of what Jesus had done and the miracle he's done. But for other people, maybe it's a way for them to identify and further understand the story. Who knows? Either way, kind of interesting. So I want to set the backdrop for you here of what's going on today. So we have this water condition that Peter and the disciples are facing. They're out in this boat. It's wet and watery. But before that happened, Jesus' cousin John was beheaded. So that could be pretty traumatic. When Jesus found out, he took a boat with the disciples, and they went across the sea to kind of get some isolation. Maybe it was a time for them to reflect on the life that John had. Maybe it was a time for them to mourn the life of John. Who knows? But they were trying to go to be alone to this isolated place. But then the crowds knew Jesus was going there, and so the crowds started coming over. And so their time of being alone got cut short. When the crowds started coming over there, the crowds wanted to be healed, and so Jesus healed them. After he was done healing them and talking to them, the disciples said, "You got to send these crowds away. You got to get rid of these people because we need some time alone." But the people were hungry. And so you know what Jesus did? He took 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he fed over 5,000 men, not including the women and children, unmeasured amount. And then he sent the disciples to go pick up what was left over, and they still had 12 baskets left. And so then, and by that time, it was about nighttime, and Jesus told the disciples, he said, "Hey, I'm going to meet you on the other side of the sea. Grab this boat and start going on your way over there. I'll meet you over there in a minute." And then Jesus sent the crowds away, and then he goes up to this mountain to pray. And so that's the backdrop of this story with these disciples that are sitting in the middle of the water right now. So sometimes you get in the middle of situations that are hard to deal with, don't you? Anybody ever been in a tough situation? Now, you may have caused the situation. You may just be in that situation. But sometimes we get in situations that are hard for us to deal with, that we're struggling. And so these disciples, they're out there in the middle of this storm, and they're paddling, and they're rowing, they're doing whatever they need to do. And it's not the storm that they're scared of at this point in time. It's just that they're tired. They're exhausted. You know, trying to solve your own problems gets exhausting sometimes, doesn't it? Trying to solve other family members' problems, that's even more exhausting because you didn't cause them. I had a guy once say to me, "I'm willing to fix anything, but if you tear it apart and then bring it to me, I'll charge you twice as much to fix it." Isn't that the truth? It's a lot harder to fix something that you didn't cause. So the disciples, they're in the middle of this area. They're in this water. They're dealing with this situation. They're paddling. They're rowing. They're trying to get through these things. And they're faced with this problem that they're in the middle of the storm. And it seems like that same thing happens thus sometimes. You think you're on top of the world. Finally, you've made it. You've saved up enough money to go on vacation, to buy that car you wanted or whatever. But then guess what happens? The transmission goes out, you lose AC in your house, something happens to take that away. So instead of blessing God and saying, "Thank you, Lord, for letting me save money so I could afford to fix this thing that was broke," you whine and complain because you're like, "Man, now I can't go do this thing that I wanted to do." And there's things in life that take us away from our goals, but I believe sometimes the reason for that is because they want us to focus back on God's goals. So here they are rowing in this boat, they're distraught. They're upset, they're frustrated, they're tired of these circumstances. We don't know how the disciples felt because the Bible doesn't share every detail with us. But what we know is that they're worried about, are they going to make it to the other side? And so as they're worried about this thing, they forget that Jesus just fed over 5,000 people with a couple of loaves and a couple of fish. Right? So what are they so worried about? The God that created them just healed some people. They saw that. They saw Jesus lift up that bread and break it in the heavens and give thanks and give it to all these people. They've seen all the great things, but they forgot. And how quickly do we too forget the great things that God does for us? We want God to do all these things for us, and it seems like God answers our prayers, and then the next day we completely forget. And then we have a problem trusting him again. And that's where these disciples were. They were stuck in this situation. So as they're out in this boat, they're not getting anywhere with these wind and these waves. They start becoming a little anxious. And then we get into verse 25 and 26, and it says, "Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. 'It's a ghost,' they said, and they cried out in fear." So suddenly these disciples, they get scared. They weren't expecting Jesus. He's supposed to be up there praying. What is he doing walking on water? You know, why is he over here? So they weren't expecting him. So they saw a spirit, a phantom, something, and they cried out in fear. They were scared. And so they're back to the place where they're calling on the Lord again. How many times do we get in those same situations where, boy, we get into this difficult situation, we forget about how God can provide for us, and then finally we remember and we ask, "God, help me in this situation." I'm thankful that God helps us in situations we get ourselves in. If God really only delivered me from situations that I didn't cause, I don't really know that he'd ever deliver me at all, because most of the situations I get myself in are in my fault. You know what I'm saying? And I'm thankful that Jesus doesn't answer the way a man would answer. You see, Jesus, he didn't say things to them like, well, if you weren't messing around so long, you would have been all the way over the sea by now. But here you are messing around. That's why you're still in the middle of the sea. Jesus didn't say anything like that to them. Thankfully, Jesus also, he didn't say, stop crying about the winds. They're not that bad, you big baby. There's not even any water in the boat. Jesus didn't answer like that either. That's not how God responds to us in our times of trouble. That's how people act. That's how we act. But that's not how God acts. So how does he act in this situation? Verse 27, it says, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. So Jesus isn't mean to his disciples. He encourages them and he comforts them. Then Peter replies in verse 28, he says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. So Jesus says, come. Wow. Now this blows my mind. He says, take courage. Don't worry, it's me. Peter says, if it's you, tell me to come out on the water. Now keep in mind, Peter, we talk about Abraham's faith because he had to almost sacrifice his son, right? We talk about the faith of Job, but think about the faith of Peter. So he's on a boat. Has anybody ever been on a boat before? Yeah, you're on a boat, you know, and sometimes you've been on calm water. Sometimes you've been in rough water, I'm sure. This is rough water. It's a storm. People are worried, right? And so the boat's shaking back and forth, and Jesus says, come on out here, Peter. And Peter, he doesn't look at those waves. He doesn't look at anything. You know, when a boat's moving back and forth, I can barely stand up in the boat, right? But Peter, he has enough faith. He's like, okay. So he just starts walking out. All these waves, all this wind, boat's turning around, and Peter just gets out there and walks. That man has a lot of faith. Because you and I, you know how long our faith is typically? If we can see that there could be a possibility that we might survive, we may do it. There was no chance of surviving for Peter. He had to have complete faith to be able to walk out in this water. And yet he still does. But let's take our eyes off Peter for a little while. What about the rest of the chumps? I mean disciples, excuse me. Why are they staying in the boat? Where's your faith? Well, like, Peter wants to go out there to Jesus and let him go. I'm hanging out over here. Isn't that how most of us Christians act? We have one person maybe in our family or one person or two people in our church that are willing to step out on faith. They believe in God. They'll do anything. No matter how crazy it seems, they will take whatever risk or whatever you want to call it for God because they believe in Him and they trust Him. But what about the rest? They sit in the boat. What do they accomplish by sitting in the boat? Those disciples, they're not accomplishing anything by sitting in the boat. And I think one of the problems that we have today is that we're not faithful on doing what God calls us to do. We just rather sit in the boat. And I'll tell you that when the church has moved in its greatest time, when people have got saved more than ever, is when the people in the church went out and did what God called them to do. When God told them to follow the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always unto the very end of the age. You see, when Christians stepped out and did that, things changed. But we have too many Christians today that are just hanging out in the boat. They're willing to watch the guy that's crazy, that's following the Lord on faith, like, all right, Alan. Good luck, brother. I'm sitting here praying for you. I'm behind you. Kind of. I mean, I'm behind you and I'm covered and I'm in this boat and I'm not getting wet and I'm pretty safe, but you're out there all alone. So I'm behind you, brother. Keep up the good work. Right? But God doesn't call us to sit out on the boat. He calls us to get out there and serve. You want to know what the biggest religion, growing religion in the world is today? Does anybody want to guess? There is. It's Islam. Islam is the fastest growing religion in the entire world today. And if you read the newspapers, if you watch the news on TV, you'll know that the reason is they don't try to remain in the shadows. They don't try their best to be obscure. They proclaim their faith mightily and boldly. Now, I don't agree with anything that the Muslims believe. But I'll tell you that if Christians would be just as bold about Jesus as Muslims were about their Allah, the world would break out into an amazing revival that would never stop. But the Christians, we got too scared. We want to stay in the boat. And that's our problem. As we sit in that boat, we expect people that are lost, that are going through problems, that are struggling, we expect those people to come to us. You'll never find in the Bible where it says that Jesus sends the lost to church. What Jesus does, he says, you Christians, you need to go out there to the world and share with them who I am. So if you and I are sitting in our pews, we're waiting for people to come to church and learn about Jesus, it's probably not going to happen. But if you and I will follow the Great Commission and get out there and share what God has done in your life and what God can do in their life, then you might see people come. That's the difference. So we need to focus on getting out of our pews, on getting out of the boat, and going and doing what God wants us to do. Yeah, it may be risky. Yeah, you might have to have a little faith. But that's what God calls us to do. If you're just hanging out, what kind of faith is that? How much faith do you need to sit in your house locked up in your recliner watching TV? Not a lot of faith to be able to do that. But if your faith is causing you to go do amazing things, God will do amazing things with you. Today, many of us wait for the lost to come to church, and we don't realize that we are the ones that need to go and to get the lost. Something we should think about. So anyway, back to the story. Peter gets out of this boat. He's walking on the water. Everything's going good. Until what? Until he takes his eyes off Christ. Everything was going great. He didn't pay attention to the wind. He didn't pay attention to the waves. He didn't know anything. He didn't care. He knew that Jesus said, come, and he said, okay, here I am. He walked out there. And so he goes out there. But as soon as he takes his eyes off Christ, what happens? He starts to sink. Now, what about us in our life? Isn't that the same problem that we struggle with? When you keep your eyes on Jesus, some of us say when we're going to church, but it really is a lot more than that, then your life is going pretty good, even if you're dealing with tough circumstances. But when you take your eyes off Christ, what do you try to do? You try to fix all those problems. You realize, oh man, I'm tons of money in debt. I got this health problem. My family's all messed up. This coworker I can't deal with. I can't stand working with them anymore. I got all these problems. Well, let me tell you. And then you try to fix them. That's what makes me laugh. I do the same thing. Look, if you could fix the problem, you wouldn't be in that situation. So obviously you can't fix the problem. You have to stay focused on Jesus if you want to be able to float. So as soon as we take our eyes off Jesus, we start to sink. And then Jesus has an opportunity here. Peter looks at him, he realizes he starts to sink, and what does he do? He reaches out to God, he says, what does he do? Does he put together some flowery words so that he sounds like a good prayer person, you know, like, dear Lord, I thank you, God, for this day, everything you've done for me. Look, 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 look. Is he singing? Lord, I just want to thank you for the berries on the tree that I ate earlier. He doesn't say all that stuff. What does he do? He says, save me! Sometimes that's the way we need to pray too. God doesn't judge you for the situation you got yourself into. He's not upset with whatever situation that you're dealing with. The only thing God really wants to do is save you. And so, Peter says, save me. And so Jesus has the opportunity to get after him. Or the opportunity to help him. What do you think Jesus says? Do you think Jesus says, well, you idiot, what are you doing walking in the middle of the storm anyway? Why don't you stay in the boat like your other buddies? He didn't say that, right? What did he say to him? He didn't say, did you see how deep this water is? Do you think you're God? What are you doing out here? He didn't say any of those things. As soon as Peter said, save me, Jesus reached out and before Jesus even talked, the scripture says, he reached out his arm and he helped him. Then he asked him, hey, why are you doubting me anyway? What's going on here? You know? But first he reaches out his arm and he helps him. We need to be more like Jesus. How many people do you know in your life that are struggling with a problem? How many people do you know that say they're Christians? They haven't seen a church for a while? Or maybe you see them going through a tough situation. And they're calling your name, and instead of you helping them, you're just laughing, or picking on them, or talking bad about them, making fun of them. There's people out there that are sinking, and they need you and I help. And then we think about ourselves, and we put ourselves in Peter's situation. God could have said all kinds of things to Peter, but he didn't.
What he did was he took Peter lovingly by the hand and he brought him out of that water. All Peter had to do was say, "Save me," and look back on the Lord, refocus back on the Lord, and God helped him. Maybe you know what it's like to be Peter. You've had your eyes on God for a long time. You've been living for the Lord, doing great things. God's doing great things through you. But recently you've taken your eyes off him. Maybe it's because you're battling with something that's bigger than you are. As soon as you take your eyes off Jesus, you realize how big that problem is. And you realize there really isn't anything that you can do about it. Sister Lorene probably realized a little bit of that when her brother-in-law Bill Page is in the hospital. Man has a heart attack. You want to do anything you can to help him. But there's nothing you can do, nothing I can do. We got to keep our eyes on the Lord and keep praying. As I visited him, he said, "Thank you guys for your prayers. I believe that's what brought me through. Tell your church thank you for their prayers and to keep praying for me." He had his eyes on Jesus through the whole thing. We got to keep our eyes on Jesus as we go through the storm. Once you take your eyes off, you'll realize quite the mess that you're in. Church, if there's anything we need today, it's a reminder that we got to keep our focus on the Lord. Every church, we need to remember that. We can say we trust God. We could say we're putting him first in our life. But folks, I don't care what you're saying, and neither does Jesus. Honestly, you can say whatever you want. I'm telling you, we need action today. James 2:17 says, "Faith without works is dead." You could talk about how much you love the Lord. You could talk about your commitment to God. You could talk about how he's first in your life. But he wants to see your faith. And your faith without works is dead. If you love God, it's time that you put him back where he belongs. It's time that you refocus and get your priorities straight. Jesus was right there for Peter immediately. He helped him. And he'll help us. When Jesus and Peter came walking back to that boat, they were walking together in unity. That's the only way he could have survived that storm, is to be able to walk hand in hand. You and I, we can walk through the greatest storms if we have Jesus with us. But if you aren't walking with Jesus, then you're surely going to sink. And what a blessing it is that the same God that reached his hand out to Peter while Peter was sinking, while Peter could have drowned, is reaching his hand out to you today. All we have to do is call on his name. All we have to do is ask. And then he comes back into the boat. He says, "Those that were in the boat worshipped him and said, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" What does it take for us to really believe in Jesus Christ? These disciples, it must have took a lot. They already saw him feed over 5,000 people. They saw him heal people. They saw him drive out demons. And now, because he walks on a little water and saves Peter, now they say, "Truly, you are the Son of God." What was he before? You know, why does it take all those things for them to really believe and start to make a commitment? I want to make one more point and then I'll close. Life is full of storms. They may not have any water in them, but we're full of storms. How are you handling your storms today? Are you trying to do it all on your own? Or are you asking the Lord for help? If you had a Doppler radar and you could see the storms of life getting ready to come into your coast and you knew they were going to hit, you'd still fail if you didn't have Jesus. You wouldn't be able to overcome them. John 16:33 says, "I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth we have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, I have overcome the world." He didn't say you overcame the world. He said he has overcome the world. If you want to overcome the world, guess whose boat you got to be in? His. If you're in your own boat, you're not going to overcome the world. He's the only one that did that. So folks, Jesus is on top of the situation. No matter what you have in your life, he's on top of it. And if you call on the Lord and Savior, he'll save you too. No matter what storm, no matter what conditions, no matter what circumstances, if you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you're never alone. The Holy Spirit of God is with us, just as the person of Jesus was with the disciples. He's always there, waiting and wanting for us to come. Church, we've got to refocus. Our kids are getting ready and they're refocusing on school. Folks, we have got to refocus and put Christ first in our life. We've got to. It's the most important thing I can tell you today. Maybe you're here today and you're going through some kind of storm. Why are you trying to solve it on your own? Why do you try to do that? Why do I try to do that? Do you think you know more than God does? Do you think you're better than He is? Do you think He can't carry you through it, but you can make your own way? It didn't work for the disciples. It won't work for you. It didn't work for Jonah. It didn't work for anybody in the Bible. But yet somehow we think when we're in a storm, we're going to do everything we can and we'll use God as a last resort. Don't you think that hurts His feelings? Don't you think that frustrates Him? He looks down as you're smashing your head into the wall and He's like, just give me your hand. Just call out and I want to help you. Just come here. Don't you do that to your kid that's learning how to walk? Stumbling. And what do you do as a parent? As a dad, you're hanging out back here like, the kid will be fine. Right? But as a mom, the mom's like, oh, he might fall and bump his head on this corner. We got to be careful. Jesus is out there. He's like, hey, all you got to do is just call on me. I'll help you through that storm. But for some reason, a lot of us don't call on Him. I don't know why that is. How many times is God going to have to prove Himself to you? Just like He did with the disciples before, you'll realize who He is. How many times is God going to have to answer your prayers? How many times does God have to show you that He loves you? How many times does He have to knock on your heart and say, let me come in? What are you waiting for to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior today? You don't have to walk through the storm on your own anymore. You can do it with Him. And if you're waiting for an invitation to be saved, this is it. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus is your Lord and Savior, don't wait another minute. Come down to the altars and ask Him to come and save you today, just like Peter said. You don't need a bunch of special words. All you need is save me. That's it. Jesus wants to walk through that storm with you. You can't make it by yourself, and neither can I. We're just not strong enough. We need Jesus. He's the only way. And as I share this with you today, I realize the devil hates this stuff. I realize he's trying to convince you, don't come up here. You can handle that storm on your own. Don't listen to anything that pastor says or what God says. You know, He did the same thing to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, didn't He? He said, if you eat of this fruit, you will surely die, God says. And that little serpent, he comes up. He's like, oh, don't worry about it. You're not surely going to die. God just doesn't want you to be like Him. And that's what the devil's doing with you right now. He's saying, you can handle the storm on your own. You don't need anybody. You can do it. But let me tell you something. The devil is a liar. He's going to tell you some stuff. He's going to say, you're not ready. You can't be saved. You're not ready. He's going to say, you can't be saved. You're not worthy. He'll say, you can't be saved. You're not good enough. But the devil is the father of lies. Somebody say that with me. The devil is a liar. Say it like you mean it. The devil is a liar.
Devil is a liar.
That's right. So don't believe what he's telling you. If you want to make it through that storm, come down here today and say, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord in heaven, God, I thank you, God, for what you've done for Peter. I thank you, God, for what you've done for me. Lord, I've been down in deep despair and I've reached my arm out and I said, God, save me. And Lord, you are there to save me no matter what trouble I put myself into. God, just like Peter was in trouble and he yelled, save me. God, you saved him and I know you'll save us. God, I know there's people in here that are going through the storms of life trying to figure things out on their own. And God, what a struggle it is. God, we want to have freedom and you want us to have freedom. You want to save us from our sins. Lord, help us today just to say, Jesus, save me. You don't have to go through life wondering whether you're going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. You don't even have to worry about that. If you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior, what are you waiting to make that decision? The disciples, they had to be proven over and over again. They had to see Jesus heal people. They had to see Jesus deliver people from demons. They had to see Jesus feed people. They had to see Jesus do all these great things. It wasn't until he walks on water with Peter in the boat that they say that they realized who he was and they worshiped him. What is it going to take for you? God doesn't want you to struggle. He wants to hold you in his arms. He wants to reach his arm out to you right now today. If you're in the middle of a storm, you're trying to face it on your own, why don't you come up here and pray as we get ready to sing this verse of invitation.